Well, welcome everybody, and we're pleased to have you join us for the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. I have with me the full crowd tonight. So I'm going to start with the Vermont folk. We have Miss Karen back in Vermont for a few weeks. Hello, Karen.
Hello, Robin, and everybody in the chat room.
I'm very glad you were able to make it. Karen lacks sleep, but we can keep her in prayer that she will be not harmed by it at all and get rested quickly.
I'm
and
glad
then
to
I have
be
Miss
here.
Megan, my faithful Vermont friend. Hello, Megan.
Hello.
Hi, all. And we have Miss Anne with us. Hello, Anne.
Hi, Robin, and hi, everybody from Texas.
Yes, Anne's our non-Vermont participant tonight. So tonight, as I believe I mentioned last week, we're going to take a look at finances. And just a heads up that next week we're going to look at tithes, offerings, and almsgiving. And to start out, finances are one of those things that every one of us is hit in the face with in a variety of ways. Kind of frequently. And it's one of those areas that, without really knowing it, we can let rule us rather than our knowledge of the Lord's promise and his promise of provision for us in all that we need. And our financial needs are a part of that. So it's, as we look at these things, recognize and watch yourself from thinking things like, well, that's easy for you to say, or give any place to thinking that your situation exceeds the Word of God and His promise to you, and choose to trust Him. And this is something we have to choose periodically because the issue of finances comes up in a variety of ways in our lives. And we want to be those who don't let it rule us, but know and keep our faces steadfast on the Lord, who is our provider. So unless any of you wanted to add something before we start looking at a few scriptures... No? You might be on mute because there's absolutely no sound from anyone.
Not me.
Not me yet. Not at this point.
Okay, well, we're just going to start out, and this is online, I think, finances and the Fisherman Ministry website. The first scripture that is under this heading is Proverbs 13:18. Karen, if you would read that.
Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored.
That's pretty simple. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. So you don't want to be in poverty and shame? Don't refuse instruction. And then it says, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. And that's a matter of actually hearing it and coming into a line with it. And this is the reproof that comes from the Word of God and from the Lord's ministers that minister unto you, which would be in agreement with the Word of God. And if not, you need to lift it up and bring it up so it can be looked at. But, you know, to regard reproof is to have a faith that you trust the Lord to know just what you need, and you're willing to hear that reproof from your discipler or somebody who has a rule over you. So these are important things to understand the implications in our lives if we want to come into obedience and not be the first part of this scripture in poverty and shame. Did any of you guys want to add anything to that before we move on? So everybody may be on mute still. So the next scripture is Psalm 37:25. Karen?
I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Okay, so this is the testimony of the psalmist. He's been young and he's been old, and he has never seen the righteous forsaken, and this is forsaken by God, nor his seed begging bread. And I have a story to tell you that I had read years ago when I still lived in Maryland that I've never forgotten. It's kind of hung out with me. And it was a man who lived during the Depression, and he was one that served in the bread lines. And his testimony was that every single person that he served, he asked them if they had been faithful to God in their tithes, and never once did he meet a faithful tither in a bread line during the Depression, not once. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Doesn't mean they didn't have struggles. Doesn't mean they didn't have to eat less meat and more starch or whatever it is that may have been imposed by the circumstance. But they are provided for, as all those who will trust in the Lord are. Are you guys going to join in here or add anything? What's that?
The man who served in the bread lines, I think, is an excellent example of the scripture.
And me too.
There's been times that Davey and I had no idea where our next dollar was coming from. But we put our trust in the Lord. And yes, sometimes there was a rough time. Sometimes we ate, or there was time for like 2 weeks, we ate nothing but beans and pancakes, because that's all we had. But it was nourishment. And we have never, ever done without food. We have never, ever done without shelter. The needs that we had, the Lord has always met. Maybe not in the way we thought we'd like to see it. Sure, we would have liked to have steak, but beans were full of protein. And he provided that. But we have never, ever, because our trust is in the Lord. It's not in man. It's not in a job. It's not in the government, especially. We have never, ever done without food.
You know, and I have had a, not in the same exact sense as you and Davey, but of course you knew me when I lived in Maryland. That's where we met and all. And certainly money through the whole time that my children were in the home was not in abundance for me, and yet they're all healthy and whole, as am I. And you know, I might not have been able to have spent as much in the grocery store as other people or followed the government's healthy eating guidelines. But, you know, we never had any lack. We never had, you know, super abundance in the sense of money and being able to just use it in accordance with my will, but we never had any lack. And there's no harm to any of us because we didn't have a ton of money to go to spend in a grocery store. And you know that. In fact, so does Megan and Karen. And James is right out there in the chat. He can attest to it himself and is even now walking out a faith in God's provision that is not associated with his ability to have enough money for all of it. And the Lord has been done wonderful things and marvelous things. I'll just tell a real quick story on James just to show you how, as an example. When the first convention he came out to, which was maybe 3 years ago?
2010.
He had a job that provided well for him. In fact, part of his pay was that they paid his mortgage, insurance, and property tax payment every month, and a decent salary on top of that. And it was a job that James knew he had to quit due to some practices that he couldn't join with. And he had, I think, just over $500 in a bank account. He had a mortgage, and he quit his job, and Steve told him. He said, James, you're going to have to go out to Texas, because I think he quit his job in September. So James took his last bit of money and bought the plane ticket. And in the meantime, he had gotten a part-time job paying, I guess, probably around minimum wage. And Steve told him, well, you know, James, you're going to have to go and let him know that you're going to be gone. You're happy to work when you come back and you'd like it, but you will be gone. And that job remained for him when he came back. And he is still in the same home. I think that was 2.5 years ago. He can correct me. But it was certainly a while ago. And until recently, the job that he had was only that part-time. If it was over minimum wage, it wasn't much. And in that time, he also got married, had a daughter. And James chose to trust the Lord. And I don't say this to lift James up and act like isn't he great or anything, but the truth is that if we will do that in all things, the Lord will prove himself. He'll show himself faithful. So we're on this subject tonight with a desire to exhort one another and all the listeners to actually trust him in this regard. I know we were talking before the service a little, and Megan, I'm going to let you share about Steve, if you would.
Well, Steve has talked, you know, anyone who's listened has probably heard at some point he has, if he waits for money to come in to cover everything, the Lord would never, I mean, he would always be waiting and things would be in arrears, but he lifts everything up to the Lord, excuse me, and when bills are due and money comes in, he pays what's due today, not waiting for enough to cover today and tomorrow's bills. He pays what the money covers today and knows that and trusts the Lord to just provide tomorrow what he needs tomorrow. And he always has. I mean, the Lord has always done it. Steve has a testimony of trusting the Lord in that, but the Lord has always been faithful too.
Yes, he has both testimonies. He's chosen to trust the Lord, and the Lord has been faithful with that trust. And I will say, because I am close enough to know somewhat of what Megan's talking about, that Steve would in no way be able to serve the Lord if his finances ruled him at all. And we have heard many times that the Lord will provide whatever we need to do that which he has called us to. And all of us are blessed by Steve's ministering in many ways. And it has nothing to do with whether he has sufficient funds to meet his own needs. That's in God's hands, and the Lord is faithful. So it shines a light on the fact that you know, the Lord's abundant life is there for us. It's us who don't take it, because we easily get caught up in this life instead of trusting it to Him and our care into His hands. And, you know, the Lord talked about how parents give good gifts unto their children. And all of us were provided by our parents, and all of us provided for our children as parents. And He says, you know, if we being evil give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father? So we really got to know that. And it might be where you just have to know it against all odds. And every testimony of the Lord that is mighty and all is always against odds. So why should finances be any different? Or why are we going to get hung up by what we see when we have a God who provides out of what we don't see? And it was perfect in His provision.
And here, Robin, I listened to Megan's story, and I've seen it in my areas of my life. I've seen it in areas of other people's lives. God provides it when we need it.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it would be great if the Lord provided us some money to pay all our bills once a month. I mean, get all our bills once a month. Well, they're not all due at the same time. But the money is there to pay each one when it's due. He provides it when we need it. Because let's face it, a lot of us, if we got a whole bunch of money at one time, say to pay our bills for the whole month, how many of us would go out and blow it on something else because the bill wasn't due yet?
There is a rubbery edge to money.
But He provides it when we need it.
Yeah.
And He is faithful in that. If we are faithful to Him, He is faithful to provide whatever we need when we need it. Not when we think we need it, but when He knows we need it.
And you know, His provision is wonderful, and I have to say that the house that I dwell in right now is a testimony to that, because God had prepared this dwelling place for me, and He prepared a place that He knew would be a blessing for me. And obviously a dwelling place isn't of, you know, something that God is obligated to do in a lovely manner. And yet, God is tender to His children, and loves to give them things that are pleasing to Him. And, I mean, that's, He just is. So we have to learn to trust what He provides for us. And sometimes it's like this house is, it's a lovely little place for me. It's been an enormous blessing in a variety of ways. But if in the day I'm not in this house, His love and provision for me will be just as much a blessing, no matter what it looks like. And I want to trust that. I don't want to define what God has to do for me, because He's already shown that everything He does is to my benefit. I know Grace Ranch, Anne, wouldn't be able to move forward in the Lord if it was bound by its bottom line and what it could see in the natural. And yet it has... Yeah. I mean, how many years have you all lived out there? Like 13, 14?
10 and a half.
10 and a half, okay. I mean, and look at the enormity of ministry and provision that has occurred in that short period of time. And it's come to pass because really the faith of those who move forward because the Lord has called them to do a thing. And the Lord's always provided. And he will continue to do so. And there's no...
Yeah, and that's right, though. And it, like I said, I've told somebody one time, as we've been here now 10.5 years, and we have never missed a meal. Our animals have never not had feed. And at one time, we had 19 horses. And we always had feed for them. They were always taken care of, too, by the Lord. And we always had food. We had heat. We had shelter. We had everything we needed. And he has always been faithful to provide that. And if we continue to be faithful to him, he will be continue to be faithful to us.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the keys here. We expect him to honor his word.
Yes.
But we have to be faithful to him. We have made a commitment. When we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we need to be faithful to that word when we committed our lives to him. And then we can trust him, we can relax and trust him and not spend all night worrying about how we're going to pay the bills, because he is right on the mark every single time. When it's time for that bill to be due, the money is there, because he is faithful.
You made an interesting comment, though, when you said we expect him to keep his promises. In a way, I think the problem can be is that we don't believe that he will keep his promises. If we believed that, then we wouldn't have a problem.
If we don't believe he's going to keep his word, and we start worrying about how we're going to pay the bills or how we're going to feed the kids or whatever, then that's not living in faith.
Or how we're going to do that which he has asked us to do.
That's right.
Because that's really the testimony both of Grace Ranch, Davey, and you, and those who stand in the same faith, and Steve. They don't minister and move forward in the Lord because they have the funds. They minister and move forward in the Lord because he told them to. And they trust him to provide. It doesn't work the other way around. You don't wait around until the Lord has provided. You, if he tells you to do something, then you get up and you go forth and know that he'll show you the way and give the provision that is necessary to bring it to pass.
Mm-hmm. I know he has shared this story before, and I know he shared it last night on the men's Bible study, and how he was sitting in Florida, and the Lord told him to go to Maryland. And he says, I'll go, but Lord, you know, or he didn't have the gas to go. And he said, Lord, I'll just send $20. A man got out of bed, drove 30 miles, and said, the Lord told me to give you this. And handed Davey the money, and Davey said, okay, I'm out of here. But the Lord told him to do something and then provided the way for him to do it.
And so we will. So how often do we not do what we're called to do because we don't see how we can do it? Financially, usually. And it could be time, too, though. But whatever it is, we can do the Lord's will every day. And he'll take care of the rest, you know? But it's really a choice that we make to believe him. And then choose to walk in that, not in what we see. And if we will do that, he will prove himself faithful. If we don't do that, we don't give him the opportunity, and we find ourselves in crappy places and blame it on him, you know, or blame it on everybody else, or feel sorry for ourselves, or whatever it is we choose to do. It's an unprofitable thing either way. But let's move on down through some of these scriptures here.
Well, just one real quick thing.
Yep.
You can't if you will not obey the Lord and what he has told you to do in his word, or what he has told you to do through his ministers who are in your who are your authority, if you don't do that, then how, then why would you expect him to provide what you needed?
Yep. I mean, that's really the bottom line.
And I know next week we're going to go into tithe, offering, and alms, but he does tell us in his word to tithe. He does tell us in his word to give offerings. He does tell us to give alms. If we refuse to do that, why should we expect him to provide what we need when we don't do what he has asked us to do?
In fact, in Malachi, it says you're cursed with a curse. And then he says, prove me.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord isn't against us proving him, so to speak. Not that we do things to see if he's going to show up or, you know, anything like that. But if you will, you will find that his that he meant what he said. That actually, if you don't mind, Karen, we'll skip over to the Second Chronicles 20:20 scripture, because it, to me, lines up with what Ann just said.
Okay. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.
I think this is one of the most underlying scriptures to all things in the Lord. But certainly, if you want to prosper in the things of the Lord and in what he has called you to do and move, push forward in him, the first thing Jehoshaphat said was to believe in the Lord your God. That's a choice we make. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Now that's the one that we can struggle with. And I know myself personally, and watching others in like manner, we're spoken something by a discipler or by somebody who is over us in the Lord, and yet we don't do it. We have all sorts of excuses and reasons, or maybe we just don't feel up to it, like it's too big for us or whatever it is, and we don't do it, and we don't prosper, and once again, we blame everybody but ourselves, including God do we blame, thinking he isn't faithful. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Comes back to take heed what you hear. If you don't, the word God has come to you and given you instruction. You don't take it. It's your own fault. Or it's my own fault. Whenever anybody does it, it's their own fault. What's that?
That word prosper is a word that means to push forward in various senses, literally or figuratively, to break out, to come mightily, go over, be good, be meet, be profitable, cause to prosper or make to prosper or what have you. So it's not just the word for monetary
money.
Prospering, or something that is tangible, if you will, in the earthly sense of tangible. I don't mean it in the sense of, I mean, faith should be real, you know, but believe his prophet socially.
Well, one of those ones was right. Go over, and of course, Jehoshaphat, this particular scripture, they're already in the promised land. The kingdom has been split. He's the king of Judah. But, you know, we're called to go over the River Jordan into the promised land, which is the body of Christ, and standing up in that, taking our place and doing the work that the Lord would have us do. And so that to me is a great one of the definitions, because you will not prosper in the Lord if you do not believe that which is spoken to you. Gosh, we have it spoken to us Tuesday night, Sunday, during the day, from disciples, and we have available to us those who have the rule over us, who speak the word of God to us. And sometimes it can be difficult to get your arms wrapped around and to do. But to do is what you got to come to. And the Lord will bring us there in every instance if we're willing to desire it. To desire to believe. And to supplant our own beliefs with what he has said. How about Psalm 1, verse 3, Karen? You might be on mute.
Yes, I was. I apologize, everybody. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Yeah. It really comes back to what kind of prospering do you want? This is really the prosperity that we claim to want. To to prosper in the Lord and in his ways and be that fruitful tree, and to have whatever we do in him prosper. That scripture starts out, if you want to just read, you can just read the whole psalm. It's 5-6 verses, if you would.
Oh, Psalm 1?
Yeah, Psalm 1.
Okay. Alrighty. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
I mean, we all know this to be true, but we don't walk it necessarily. Our conversation doesn't show that we believe it. We can know it, we can say it, but these things don't come to pass until we choose to take God at his word and to esteem what he has to offer more than what it is that we might let get in the way. He'll bring this to pass if we'll do it. It glorifies him, lifts him up, and he takes care of us in the midst of it. I was trying to find a service of in Northfield where, and the notes aren't up yet, but you all may remember when Steve spoke about slaves, and how you had the house slaves and you had the field slaves. And the field slaves were the more rebellious sort, but the good servants were in the house, and he talked about how their masters took care of all their needs. The servant's job was to do what the master said, but the master's job was to take care of them. That's the same sense in which the Lord has called us, that we're to serve him in accordance with his will, and he promises he'll take care of the rest. It really comes down to two things, I guess. Wanting to serve the Lord more than ourselves. Wanting his ways more than our ways. And then the choice to actually believe him. Believe that he'll provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Or hang out in unbelief and wonder why we don't prosper.
We have to believe that he'll never leave us or forsake us, like he says in his word. So we make that choice to believe that.
That's actually Hebrews 13:5, Karen, if you wanted to read that. I'm sure it's not the only place, but it is in Hebrews 13, verse 5.
Okay. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Kind of hits on it pretty dead on, doesn't it? Covetousness is wanting what you don't have. Right?
Right.
And contentment is to be satisfied. And why?
One of the...
Go ahead, Anne, or Megan.
One of the ways you've described covetousness is wanting something that someone else has had, or someone else has, in the sense that, you know, if you trust the Lord for your provision, when you want something that someone else has, you're not trusting that the Lord's provision for you is what you need.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I worded that as eloquently as you put it when you put it the first time. That was just cool. But that's the basic point of covetousness in that sense.
You know, you're a good example to me. I mean, people don't know this about you, but I'll give you an example with Megan, how that works. I have a piece of furniture called a Hoosier, and it is a piece of furniture that predated kitchen cabinets. It was probably one of the first things developed that would be in a kitchen, because people usually had pantries where everything was just stored on shelves or whatever. And it's cool because it's a baking unit. It has a sifter and all of this stuff. And Megan would like a Hoosier. But the truth is, the Lord, she's lifted that desire up to the Lord. And I have absolutely no doubt that one day Megan will have a Hoosier. And she's content with that day, whenever it is. Now, I don't know if she has anything to add to that, but me knowing Megan and knowing that that's something that would bless her, and she is the little baker all the time, so it would certainly be an appropriate gift for Megan from the Lord, but he shouldn't have it yet. And she's wanted one probably since you married Steve, right, Megan?
I don't know exactly how long, but I'd never heard of it before I came here.
Yeah.
And it was only probably as I found a place in the kitchen and started baking that, and seeing yours, and, you know, the main selling point was the sifter. Just store your flour, you just turn a little thing, and there you go, you've got your flour ready. It's
and the
only thing
whole-
that I...
You got the thing to do all your work on.
Yeah, there's storage for everything you need. Absolutely. Place to knead your bread if you do, or mix. But anyway, one thing that, you know, might be added in here, I suppose, is I was looking for something online 2-3 weeks ago. And I thought, well, while I'm up on Craigslist, I'll just glance in there and see if they have any Hoosiers. And this being Vermont, where there are not a lot of people, there's not a lot of variety of that sort of thing here either. Excuse me. But there was this one that was pretty inexpensive, judging by general things. It needed probably a, you know, coat of polyurethane off you or something. Anyway, we went up to see it. The woman, before we ever went, said she'd already heard from someone. They were seeing it on Saturday. But she let me know if they didn't take it. And I said, well, we'll be up on Friday in that area, and we live far away. Do you mind if we just come and see it? That way at least we know if they don't take it that we would like it or not. So she said that was fine. We went up there, and it was even before we left the house, I had prayed and asked the Lord that if this was his blessing for me, then the other woman wouldn't want it. And we went up, we saw it, and it was nice. It needed a little work, but not an enormous amount. And it was so restful. I left the house thinking, I mean, I almost didn't think about it again because I left it with the Lord and just trusted him with that. And I need to do that in many other things in my life, but that is an example of leaving things. Another one is the guitar. In 1989, I first played a 12-string guitar, and I fell in love with the sound. It was just lovely. And I always after that dreamed about having an Ovation guitar. And 22 years later, I was given one. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing it was to me. You know, when you leave things with the Lord and you're able to just be content, it is peaceful and good. And the Lord knows, you know, when you lift your desires up to him and you leave them with him, he doesn't forget. And like we were saying earlier, you know, he provides our needs. He also sometimes just provides the things that we would like, that would bless us specifically because he loves us.
But it's a good point also, Megan, that you said that it was 22 years that passed between that time that you had wanted one and the time that you were blessed with one. And you know how impatient we can be with wanting everything right now. And if we don't get it right now, well, the Lord isn't going to answer our prayer. That type of a thing. He does. He wants to answer our prayers. But it's in his time, not ours.
And the thing is that he knows if it will be a blessing to us or not. So, you know, had he, because there's that consuming it upon your own lust thing.
Oh, yeah.
But part of leaving things in the Lord's hands is to trust him that if it is something that will be a blessing, he shall bring it to pass. Not the, God, you're my servant, so I want this, go get it for me kind of thing. But these are choices that we have to make because there are things in life and just things in our carnal man that war against it. And I hope that we will choose to take and believe the word of God instead of our fears, our worries, our wants, and be content and know that he is faithful and will never leave us or forsake us, and that he will supply all of our needs. He knows our needs. We don't. It's just like a parent knows their children's needs and denies them dessert when they won't eat dinner, or actually denies them other things if they won't do the first thing. you know, it wouldn't be loving if a parent didn't put those restraints and restrictions on a child. And yet a parent always wants the opportunity to bless their children. It's their children that hold off those blessings, oftentimes not the parent. How much truer is that of God, who sees perfectly and knows perfectly and has promised perfectly to us?
Can we read Matthew 6:33?
Yes, we can. Karen? You might be on mute again.
Yes, sorry, I'm really slow on that tonight. Okay. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
First, not
first.
At some point along the way.
Yeah. He's the most important thing. His righteousness by which we stand is the most important thing. And that righteousness he shares with us if we will believe him, take him at his word. And if we will do so, everything else will be added unto us. And this actually looks back on scripture that talks about Jesus was saying, you know, look at the lilies of the field. Solomon in all his glory wasn't clothed as they are. And it's talking particularly about food and raiment. It's a commandment. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe it? It's a question to ask yourself. And if you do, will you do it? And know that he will do his part. Karen, how about John 10:10?
Okay. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
It's really it really comes down to our choice. The only way to have his life and its abundance is by taking him at his word and doing what he says. And sometimes that comes through somebody in authority over you. Oftentimes, actually. And if we don't, then we are subject to the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It really comes down to, do we believe God and take him at his word? And will we do what it takes to put off that which is in disagreement with him and actually hear him? Hear his instruction. Hear his reproof. Be those sheep that hear his voice. How about Psalm 35:27, Karen?
Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant.
Amen. I'm pretty certain that this isn't based upon how you feel or what you see. But it's what you believe. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God has pleasure in his servants' prosperity. And as you said, Megan, that prosperity isn't necessarily going to be money in the bank. But if you want to prosper in the Lord and your soul to prosper, shout for joy and be glad. Favor his righteous cause. Say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You will prosper and be his servant with that mindset.
You know, it reminds me of that fear not little flock verse.
Yep. Luke, do you know where Luke, that is?
Yeah, it's Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
Some of the words for that prosperity in the prosperity of his servant in Psalm 35 are well, happy, peace, welfare, rest, safety, prosperity, favor. Those are some of the attributes or the, you know, synonyms, if you will, for that particular prosperity. Sounds like the kind of thing I could, you know, that is a good thing. That is something to go after.
Mm-hmm. Something to have an expectation for. You know, the Lord says if we will do this, that he will do that. And we fall short on the doing it, and we fall short also on the trusting him to do his part. And it's really both parts. You have to believe him and take him at his word, and then you have to not lose the knowledge of his goodness and his faithfulness to his word. You gotta, you know, hang on, choose it, hold fast. It says to hold fast our profession of faith. Well, that's part of it. It's not, oh, I believe in God. It's actually taking him at his word and knowing it. And that really goes back to what we were talking about Grace Ranch and Davey and that which has been accomplished there and the ministry that spreads out over really the whole earth. And that which Steve stands in, notwithstanding what his eyes can see. And that's a choice of faith. Sometimes it's a battle for faith. But it's one that if you will do and choose to win and not take anything less, you will do likewise. But if you don't, I hope you hear that it falls on your shoulders or my shoulders, whoever. And God doesn't call it to be there. He says to cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. Finances can be a care. And as soon as that care comes upon us and we recognize it, we need to cast it upon him. And know that he cares for us. And not be of little faith, right? O ye of little faith. Only way to get great faith is through exercising it. Did anybody have anything else to say before we say goodnight?
And no.
Get off of mute. Well, you know, if you're struggling and just need somebody to come up alongside you and state the truth to you, there's people to come to call upon. So I pray and hope that everybody will choose to trust the Lord in all things and to take his exhortation about finances to heart and to choose obedience to him. And I pray that may the Lord bless and keep you all, and we'll look forward to your return with us next week. Thank you for joining us.
Amen. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.